We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Sometimes nature has the best solutions. Beavers build dams to create homes for themselves. Beaver dams back up small streams of moving water to protect themselves from enemies. However, beaver dams can also make a stream healthier by reducing erosion and raising water levels. Humans are recreating what the beaver has done through something called beaver dam analogs, or artificial beaver dams. Susquehanna University's Freshwater Research Institute has created their own beaver dams in an effort to restore streams. And Director Matt Wilson joins us on The Spark today. Professor Wilson, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
All right, I got to tell you right off the bat, the beaver dam analog sounds so detached or distant, too scientific. What do you really call them?
BDAs, obviously.
That's even more detached. Let's just go with artificial beaver dams, okay?
We can live with that, yeah.
Okay. So why build artificial beaver dams?
Because we eliminated all the beavers, that's why. And, you know, the short version is that, right? Streams in North America 500 years ago, they were all wetlands, slow flowing, meandering. You know, we had beavers every 100 meters, every 100 yards or so. Now, our idea, our aesthetic of what a healthy stream looks like is this narrow single channel that flows through a beautiful forest. That's not always what it was.
Really, I did not realize that 500 years ago we had that many beavers, and obviously our streams, our waterways, were much healthier at that time. So beavers had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, I mean, you can think about. I like to create an analogy of beavers really created the kidneys of our watersheds. You know. These dams, these ponds that they created filtered out sediment. They filtered out anything that was flowing in off the landscape. And so now that we've removed those and increased nutrients, we've doubled the problem.
Okay, so you said that the reason to build artificial beaver dams is because we don't have real beavers building them any longer. So what's the motivation? What's the incentive? What's the reason behind building an artificial beaver dam?
Yeah, so... For me, I really came to this a few years ago thinking about it's real common out west to build beaver dam analogs now. And they started doing that about 15, 20 years ago. But it just hasn't caught on in the east. And we have a stream here on Susquehanna's campus that's really eroded. It's had lots of issues. I've never seen anything like it outside of an urban system. Like real deep cut banks, heavy erosion. And it's in a place where we can't really get equipment in. We can't do the typical kind of restoration you do in PA. So I thought, all right, let's try this thing that works out west, that as soon as you say beavers here, people get a little nervous. So I thought, what have we got to lose on this particular stream? So the idea is these dams are slowing down the flow as it comes through off of agricultural fields, off of a development, you know. Lots of sediment, lots of nutrients that would be flowing into the stream, they get trapped behind the dams. And it slows the flow down. These dams aren't, you know, what you'd think of as a normal dam. They don't stop everything. They just slow it down a little bit. So think of it more like a sieve, right? And we put eight of these in, so each sieve catches a little bit more of the sediment, a little bit more of the energy that's coming through, and decreases the erosion while building up the stream channel at the same time. So that's our goal in this one. It's more about stormwater management, but in general, we think about beaver dams for groundwater recharge. for, creating nature's cooler in the summer. And a lot of issues around just sort of slowing down flow, slowing down energy during big storms.
Few questions. Why hasn't it caught on in the East when they're doing this out West?
That is a great question. There are some states that do it, Vermont, New Hampshire, some in Maine. Actually, one of the first people to push for this was in Vermont. But in general, I think there's this, it goes back to that, aesthetic of what a healthy stream looks like, I think. Out west, where water scarcity is really a problem, the idea of groundwater regeneration is a huge driver. And I think a large part of the impetus for why these dams have become so common out west. But in the east, we don't have water scarcity. We have water overabundance most of the time. So why would we possibly want to make more standing water, more wetlands? And I think, that becomes a little counterintuitive in the east.
I understand how it creates more wetlands by the water backing up and over the banks, but how does it contribute to groundwater?
Ah, good question. So it comes down to the issue of slowing down the flow and creating more surface area for absorption of water. So, as that pond fills, think about a normal stream channel. Say it's 10 feet wide. If you create a beaver pond there that's now an acre, right? I'm not using the same units, but you get my picture, right? There's a lot more area for water to be soaked up and infiltrate the ground. And then when you have a dry spell, say that beaver pond starts to retract, it gets small, it goes back to the original channel. You've held so much water back for so long that's been able to infiltrate and saturate the ground. Now, when the water's low, that water slowly will seep back out of the banks into the stream. And it's been in the ground. If you go down in your basement in the middle of summer, it's the same as being in the groundwater. You've got nice cold water re-entering the stream during the hottest, driest part of the year.
Okay, so you mentioned that one of the reasons that you wanted to do this on the stream on the campus of Susquehanna University was that, the stream that you described that looked like an urban stream, I'm picturing all kinds of erosion, steep banks, grass hanging over it, maybe some other vegetation. Is that what it looks like?
Exactly what it looks like.
Okay.
It's so bad in places that trees are essentially hanging out in space over the stream itself with no bank holding them up.
All right, so what I'm getting at is that with a changing climate and more weather events, extreme weather events, where a stream will have maybe a flood water, how does an artificial beaver dam, or what impact does a beaver dam have during or after those extreme weather events?
Yeah, that is a great point. It's what actually I think is the biggest reason we should think about beaver dam analogs, beaver dams in the East, moving forward with climate change. Because, especially in this part of PA, we're expecting the same amount of rain throughout a year, right? But in bigger, fewer storms. And so if we don't have anything to slow that flow down, slow that energy down, all that rain is, we can't absorb it. The ground can't handle as much. You reach saturation and then you have sheet flow off the ground and massive storm events that push it all out into the bays. So how do we keep that water in place? Because all it's going to do is reduce groundwater if we don't start, capturing some of that. And so that's where I think beaver dams are really going to be important for that. Not to mention what I said about temperature. I think, that's a part of it that's even more overlooked because it's a double whammy. If you're in a stream and the water's down, you're stressed. If it's summer and the water's down, it's also hot because you don't have that ability to, buffer against warm temperatures. But if you've got groundwater coming in, even if it's just a little bit in springs in a few places, it creates these little cold water pockets that fish and other invertebrates can hide.
You anticipated one of my next questions. What impact is there on other species, plants, fish, other wildlife?
Yeah, there's a great bumper sticker that I saw once and I have not been able to find again that says, Beaver taught salmon to jump. There's this common misconception that beaver dams are barriers in streams and that they prevent migration, they prevent movement of native fishes, but they don't. They create heterogeneity. They create lots of different habitats and more diversity of habitats than exists now, which, especially if you think about the context of climate change and a gloom and doom scenario, we want every option available to those bugs, those fish, to everything else, the aquatic plants. How are they going to adapt? And they're going to adapt to whatever habitat survive moving forward. And so we should give them as many options as possible.
Are there specific species of fish that would thrive with beaver dams?
It depends on where you are. Thinking about Pennsylvania, our state fish is brook trout. And so I often, go to brook trout because of that. Brook trout really have an intense temperature sensitivity. They can only go to so warm of temperatures, right? And they really like it colder than that anyway. So, for them, I think the real benefit here is creating that groundwater refuge, creating that cooler for the summer that keeps the warmest warms down just a little bit. And that's what's critical for fish like that. So I think, that's one species that benefits a lot from it.
Let's talk a little bit more about it, about building a beaver dam. When you actually constructed this beaver dam, how many people did you have involved, by the way?
Yeah, so we had, well, we did a couple pilot dams to start, with a few of us standing around scratching our heads because we didn't want to do that with 40 people in the room. But then when we eventually built the last six, we had partners from about 10 organizations in total. And then a couple labs on campus came out in the afternoon to help. So it ended up being about 40 to 50 people.
You actually had some people from the State Department of Environmental Protection, right?
Yeah, we had some help there that, has been amazing. They've been a great partner in looking at this and really thinking about it critically and how it's going to work in the state.
So, is it possible for maybe even people listening today to create their own beaver dam?
Depends on what state they live in.
Oh, you don't have to
Well,
go to Nevada, do you?
no. In Pennsylvania, we did this as an experiment. So they're the first ones that we know of, at least the first ones that have been permitted in the state. And we did it on this stream that only flows part of the year. It's not critical habitat for any known fish, invertebrates, anything like that. And so we're doing it here as a stormwater technique to think about how it's going to work in that condition. And as we bring up the groundwater, I'm hoping it creates perennial flow, a real stream again. And then we can start talking about how to expand out and do this in other places across the state.
So you had to get a permit
Yes.
from who?
DEP, Department
DEP.
of Environmental Protection,
So
yeah.
I can't just go out if I have a stream in my backyard and decide I'm going to build a beaver dam.
They might frown on that a bit, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So quickly, how do you build a beaver dam?
Yeah. So, in the absence of real beavers, the challenge to me was actually finding the wood to build it to start. It takes an enormous amount of material both to build the dam and to hold it in place. So it was sort of a learning experience for me. I don't know about you, but my initial intuition was we want to build these out of as big a logs as possible, the support structures out of larger logs. Because we want them to stay there in place for a long time, right? That makes sense. Well, I did some research and it turns out the best artificial beaver dams out there, you want to use smaller stakes, maybe 2 or 3 inches in diameter out of hardwoods that will slowly decompose and the dam starts to fail after 3 or 4 years. And the idea there is that it more naturally mimics what beavers would do. They start to build a dam, it changes the way things flow, and then they decide to move somewhere else, and that dam slowly degrades. And that creates all kinds of different pockets of habitat and interesting places for bugs and fish in that stream as time moves on and the dams move around. And so we're trying to mimic that same process using stakes that are about 2 inches in diameter. We pounded them into the stream across the channel. And then normally you'd use willows or something more flexible to weave between it and almost make it look like a wicker basket with larger branches coming off the back so that when water crests over the top, it doesn't hit the ground with so much force that it scours out behind the dam and erodes the whole thing. So you want some kind of, you know, opportunity for the water to slow down before it erodes things. In our case, we have a whole bunch of Bradford pears, the invasive tree on campus. And I thought, why don't we make this a twofer? You know, let's take out some of these Bradford pears we have in abundance and use those to build the dams. So we actually sort of built this matrix of two rows of stakes and stuffed the very, very pokey, sticky, if you will, Bradford pears in between the two to capture everything that's flowing downstream. And it's working wonderfully so far.
And I'll add this, but a lot of people will listen to this and say, yeah, that's kind of a dumb thing to bring up, but I assume those stakes are not treated.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, just wanted to point that out.
That was actually what made it so hard to find them, because no one sells 2x2 untreated steaks.
Right, yeah, that's what I thought. Did you have any engineering students help out here as far as design the dam?
No, actually, I have been talking to a couple of students in physics, though. You know, how can we think about the force that's behind one of these dams and how much energy is actually retained? You know, how do we change what happened before to now and quantify it beyond just, you know, this is what the velocity is now, this is the velocity was then. How much water have we pushed out into the floodplain?
Yeah.
It never happened before.
So mud instead of concrete, obviously.
Yep.
Just like a real beaver.
Just like a real beaver. You know, we don't quite have the teeth and industriousness.
No,
so there were
that,
some,
yeah,
you know, some hacksaws and pickaxes involved.
The Conowingo Dam that's over the Susquehanna River in northern Maryland. Now, obviously, we're talking about a huge dam compared to a beaver dam. But right now, the Conowingo Dam, so much sediment has backed up that it isn't healthy, keeping sediment from flowing downstream. But when or does it become a negative with too much sediment at a beaver dam?
Yeah, I think that's a great question that I've actually thought about, because I think it comes down to an economy of scale, you know, and the permanence of the structure, right? So these smaller dams, you know, what I was saying of lasting only a few years sometimes, sure, there are some out there that beavers have come back to for decades, even 100 years in some cases. But most of the time they start to fail, or they fill up with sediment and the beavers abandon them after they filled up with sediment, which is the real key here. Because once they're abandoned, they'll break through and they'll recreate a new channel. You know, they'll braid through that what was once a beautiful wetland and has turned into what we call a beaver meadow. The channel reformed through that after the dam breaks. And now you're back to a single channel or maybe a braided channel through that meadow. And over time, you know, trees are going to grow there and it's going to go back to forest the way that it was before the beavers ever showed up. That process doesn't happen with Conowingo. And I think that's the real difference, is that succession process.
Mm. So how large of a body of water do you need, or are there some limitations on where beaver dams can be built?
I have seen beaver dams on the smallest trickle of water you can imagine. And, you know, if you want to watch the most adorable videos on YouTube and go down a lost rabbit hole, you know, just look at baby beavers who've been rescued in a room. They find a blanket and shove it under the door. Like there's just this inherent, I need to stop whatever's flowing water is near me. So it doesn't really matter on the small side. On the large side, it really comes down to, you know, how much velocity comes through that system. Is it going to blow out the dam year after year? The largest beaver dam in the world is in northern Canada and stretches over a kilometer. But it stretches through really, really flat land with lots of seeps and springs feeding into it. So there isn't high velocity in that instance that would break the dam. So that's where sort of this give and take comes in.
Is there any potential for real beavers, maybe adopting your fake beaver dams?
That is my dream a decade from now.
Why do you say so? What would have to happen?
Well, because there's no water in there now. It only flows part of the year. They need that year-round flow. They need that connected floodplain. So if we do our job now and we raise the stream channel up and reconnect it to the floodplain, and we make this a functional stream again with flow year-round, then we might just have a chance for the beavers to come back on their own.
Now, you're talking about your stream on campus. We only have about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you very much for being with us today. Is this something that we will see more of in the future?
I certainly hope so, and I'm going to do everything I can for them.
You'll be the messiah for beaver dams, artificial beaver dams here on the East Coast. Thank you very much. Matt Wilson is Susquehanna University's Freshwater Research Institute Director. I don't know. I think this is really cool. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks a lot, Scott.